But for a whole city to come out, for me personally, it was just fairy tale stuff, you know, it was crazy.
It's the most open Premier League season in a long time. Man United are in crisis and there's nothing separating the bottom half of the table. From 11th to 20th is literally a relegation dogfight. This is the Prem Chat Show. I'm Dave O'Grady. Joining me back this year is my co-host and Baggies fan, Nathan Carr. Good evening, Nathan.
Hi, lads. You all right?
Remember, you can follow the show here on Twitter. We're at TalkingSport.org and it's facebook.com/TalkingSport.org. It's that simple. Now, Hull City fans will get another chance to acknowledge Phil Brown for his efforts as Tigers boss as the FA Cup throws up another potential fairy tale. Brown's current Southend side will face his old club in the fourth round at Roots Hall on Saturday, and we're delighted to talk all about this and more with two terrific Hull City pundits, Rick Skelton and Nathan MacDonald. Rick, coming to you first, you actually have a terrific blog called From Boot Ferry to Wembley. You cover everything to do with Hull City and much more.
Yeah, I try to write a little bit about him.
I suppose over the past 2 years it's been mostly positive stuff, but no doubt you let your opinions on hardcore issues come to the floor. Has there ever been a case where you've been lost for words and you're reluctant to put what you really feel down on paper, as a lot of journalists I think in that area would be inclined to do?
No, it's okay. When you do it amateur, you can't really upset anybody and lose your job, can you? So you can say a bit more than some of the guys who can't really say what they maybe want to about stuff like the name change and things like that.
And that's why the blogs have gotten so popular over the past few years. We're also delighted to be joined by Nathan. You're a graphic designer, Nathan, and an IT whiz kid, but in your free time you're a diehard Hull fan. Do you find, with a busy lifestyle, do you find it difficult to follow Hull City, or have you ever missed a match?
Well, I missed a Fulham game this season, which was absolutely shocking of me.
One of the games you probably would have wanted to go to see. Why did you miss it? Was there something big that came up?
It was family commitments. I had loads of stuff over Christmas with my family, so I had to miss that game, and now I really regret doing that.
Heart-wrenching stuff.
What a game to miss.
I know.
Heart-wrenching stuff altogether really is. You'll be hoping that the guys will go and do something similar with that this season. Now, just to roll the ball on, lads, and I want to look ahead to locking horns with Phil Brown once again. Rick, coming to yourself on this, he did a lot for Hull City, there's no doubt about that. The club has really changed since the period of time where he's been there. But having said that, to go up against him again, it really is a fairy tale. You can't really write this kind of thing.
No, it's funny. As soon as Southend and us got through in the last round, there was a lot of people saying, quite fancy playing against Brown again. I've actually been thinking about it today. I've been writing a blog for tomorrow, so thinking a little bit about Brownie's time, which it's a bit divided really. The first about 18 months when he saved us from relegation, and then we won promotion, and then we started in the Premier League, unbelievably winning at Arsenal and Tottenham and Newcastle. We beat Fulham and West Ham at home, and it was. Just the best time there's been really to be a Hull City fan. And all right, nosedived a bit from there, but you can't get memories like that back again.
And Nathan, is it just set up, do you think, for you to lose this game with Phil Brown obviously reacquainting himself with you and get one over on his old team?
I reckon he'll be planning on doing that, because it's just the way football is these days. I mean, but I still think that We can definitely get something from the game. I mean, if we win, we win. If we draw them, it goes to extra time, and we're gonna at some point go through. But I think we can definitely pull this game and just beat them. We just have to.
Do you think, Nathan, to follow up on that, there's going to be any Phil Brown antics we're going to see? We're not going to see the Southend team at halftime sitting on the field while he gives them a very much charged up team talk. Of course, they're going to have the home crowd. It's going to be tough for you guys.
It'll be very, very tough for the team due to a lot of key players are out injured, and I don't think they'll be playing the starting team anyway. I think they'll be playing some sort of circulation squad. But again, as I said, there'll be a lot of stick from the Hull fans, I reckon, for Phil Brown. And not saying that he deserves it, because he doesn't, but...
Were you a little bit embarrassed, though, from the singing that season you guys stayed up? Because it had to have been... I know I don't want to dwell on Phil Brown too much, but it had to have been the best first half of a season a Premier League club who have just got promoted must have had, all for it to kind of go downhill in the second half of the season. It was like a boulder rolling down a hill. There was nothing going to stop it. But he managed to just about get there. A couple of nice results at the very end of the season kept them there. And then going onto the field singing. I know a lot of other Premier League fans were kind of laughing at that side of thing. What was it like being a Hull City fan, Rick?
To be honest, I didn't even realise in the ground that he was singing. I was just that relieved that we'd stayed up, because to go down after like you're right, after the start we made, to then go down, it would have been like the most dramatic fall there's been. So I was just totally relieved, and I had to watch Match of the Day to find out he'd sung.
And Nathan, just going back to the game on Saturday, with Phil Brown and all that, do you think that this will be a chance to release the fringe players and give the ones that aren't quite getting on the first team sheet at the moment, give them a run out, see what they've got, and see if, with the obviously in the middle of the January transfer window, see if they can stake a claim for a first team spot?
Yeah, definitely. I think what Steve Bruce been planning the most is giving the players a rest before the Palace game. Because that's a massive game for us and we need to win that game. But as far as stuff goes, I think that he'll be putting on a few players that he thinks deserves a first team spot, such as the likes of Quinn and George Boyd and stuff. But I can't see making big differences in the team. I can see him making minor differences.
I have to ask you guys this, because it's probably... We always hear rumours in the January transfer window, and a lot of Premier League clubs threaten to buy a lot of players, but it never really shapes up. But it's probably fair to say, Rick, that Steve Bruce, he's been very busy in the transfer window, bringing in Jelovic, Shane Long, 19-year-old Elliot Kebby, and now I hear they're trying to get Sully Montari. How important is it to Hull fans that Bruce is showing this type of ambition?
Well, it swings and roundabouts a little bit, because if I'm honest, I'm not ever so happy that we've got the money to spend. Certainly the players they're signing are fantastic. There's no question about the quality. I'd be worried if somebody like Sully Montari came in with the drain on the resources he is. But Steve Bruce has needed and he's wanted strikers for the last 2 years. So he'll have been absolutely desperate to get somebody really quality in. So to get Jelovic and Long, I think is quite an achievement, really.
Nathan, would you go along with that, with the potential strike force of Jelovic and Long? I mean, as a West Brom fan, I've watched a lot of Shane Long over the last few seasons. And what I would say is he's very, very inconsistent, but a really hard worker, and will work the channel, spin off defenders. I just wonder if maybe under the stewardship of Bruce, he can get the best out of him again, would you say?
Well, personally, I think that Steve Bruce can get the best out of anybody. I mean, the type of players that he's brought in over the summer and the type of players that quite surprised me as a transfer to a Premier League squad has actually got the best out of him. But Shane Long and Jelovic are just, for me, because I've been going to City for only 12 years, I mean, they're the best players that I've seen this season, some of the best players I've seen put on all City shirts. I mean, people like Huddleston and Long, Jelovic and McGregor and stuff are great signings by Bruce, and I think he's going to carry it on whilst his manager making great signings and making his club what it should be.
And I've got quite an interesting stat. I'm not sure if you guys know this, but Hull are actually the joint fourth worst scorers in the league, 22 goals, which isn't, I think drastic. But, Rick, do you agree with what Nathan said? Do you think Jelovic and Long, who, as I said, came in for $7 million, can sort of help put the goals in and add to a, not a drastic record, but one that could need improvement?
Oh, no, you're right, it's a terrible record, but we got promoted last season on the back of not scoring goals, and it's because we don't let a lot in. So if he can get it right at the other end, which, to be fair to Bruce, he's been desperate to do, he's brought in striker after striker, but the he's not really been able to get the quality he's been after. And I really think Jelovic and Long are. I know what you say about Long. He's not a proper goal scorer, but Jelovic is. So I really think the pair of them can hit it off.
Yeah, we'll be hoping that that does happen. It really is an exciting strike force. Hopefully it forms a fantastic partnership. And Rick, just on the performance so far this season, Hull are sitting comfortably in 10th or 11th place, I think, in the table. It's been rather good for them. You guys obviously clearly happy with how it's shaping up. If one of us said it to you at the start of the season that come towards the end of January you'd be where you are, would you bite our hands off for it?
Oh yeah, definitely. No question about that. Yeah, they made a really good start. Just dropped off a tad lately, and the fixture list isn't great for them, because we've got a lot of the teams below us. We've got to go to them. And the home games are sort of tough games, like we've got Spurs and Arsenal to come here. So, the start has been absolutely fantastic. And I think they've made the signings at the right time to build on it. They haven't rested on the good start. They're really pushing on.
And Nathan, there's been fantastic performances, like particularly the win against Liverpool. Stuff like that is obviously going to drive the players on, and as we were talking about, Steve Bruce really does kind of get the best out of his players. Performances like that, though, beating Liverpool, who were really, at the time when you guys played them, they were talking about them perhaps launching a real title challenge, but it just goes to show that a team like Hull City can bring them right back down to earth.
Yeah, it's just, at the minute, anybody can beat anybody in this league, this season especially. But that win over Liverpool was just amazing. It had me smiling for about a week afterwards.
Yeah, and David Myler getting the goal, a player that Steve Bruce has shown a lot of faith with, right going back to the Sunderland days. And again, it shows that, you know, he really has a lot of trust in his players.
Oh yeah, definitely. David Mallard is right up there with some of the top players, I think. He's been a really big surprise, so I didn't think he'd ever be able to cut it for the Premier League. Same with George Boyd as well. I said the same about him at the start of the season, but they've really surprised me in football terms anyway.
And Rick, I mean, with the division being so tight at the moment, you're actually only 5 points off the dreaded bottom dotted line. So, I mean, it's really important now, isn't it, to try and pick up the points in case you start looking behind your back and you know, teams are starting to catch up with you.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think certainly they've got to improve the away record, because they didn't get a lot of points away from home in the first half of the season. But in fairness to them, we did go away, apart from Manchester United, we went away to everybody in the top nine. So the away games now in the second half, if you flip that around now, all the home games are against the top nine, the away games are against the teams below us. So that's going to be something to really test us.
And I just think at the minute with the fixture list that we've got coming up, it's going to be quite easy for, well, not, I wouldn't say easy because it's quite hard in the Premier League, but it's going to be easier for us the second half of the season rather than the first half away, especially.
You've got Palace, Sunderland, Southampton and Cardiff all coming up, haven't you? So you really must take maximum points from that.
Oh yeah, definitely. The next four or so games, we can probably get about 8 or 9 points out of them, barring Tottenham, of course.
It's terrific when you hear Hull fans talking like that. The confidence after a good performance.
Let's get all 12. Let's beat Tottenham as well.
Terrific. So, what about the players, Rick, that we were talking about? I know we mentioned Jake Livermore, Tom Huddleston. We had a bit of character there, actually, with the hair throughout the season. And El Mohammadi, they've been really the lads that have kind of kept results ticking over. For yourself, Rick, who's been your standout player of the season so far?
The three you mentioned are going to get a lot of coverage because they're fantastic players going forward. I'm going to be a bit more boring. I'm going to go for some defensive players. Nathan mentioned Alan McGregor earlier, who's been absolutely outstanding in goal, only cost 2 million. And I think he's been better than goalkeepers who cost five times that. for other clubs. And then Curtis Davis has been an absolute rock at the back. He's barely put a foot wrong and formed a really good, whether we've played three at the back or a back four, he's been terrific.
He's a real Premier League defender though, Rick, isn't he? I mean, you see a lot of defenders with clubs and you're thinking, oh well, maybe Championship, they could play Championship or with a promoted club, but I think Curtis Davis, he really is a Premier League defender. No matter what club he goes to, I think it'll always be a club in the top flight.
Yeah, I mean, they've been around the top flight a lot. Went down with Birmingham. I'm surprised somebody didn't pick him up earlier, but Steve Bruce showed a lot of faith in him because he's replaced a guy like Jack Hobbs, who everybody liked and who was a good defender, but Bruce was quite ruthless and he thought he didn't fancy Hobbs to make it in the Premier League, so he replaced him with Davis, which some people said was a bit unfair when the guys helped get promoted, but Bruce doesn't do sentiment, so I think that's a good quality.
I mean, on Curtis Davis, again, a former West Brom player, I was quite impressed with him when he was in his formative years with us. I think he's captain for you now, isn't he? So that's a really good player for you. But Nathan, coming to you, what have you made of the Tottenham duo, Jake Livermore and Tom Huddleston? They've really caught the eye, haven't they, in the central midfield?
Well, yeah, when we bought Middleston, I believe we got Livermore from them as a loan just to get him games. And I wasn't really thinking about much of Livermore. I was focusing on Huddleston the most when we first started playing him. But they've both been absolutely amazing in the midfield. They both drive the ball forward and it actually looks like Livermore's starting to learn a lot off Huddleston. And at the end of the season, I think we should bag Livermore and just sign him up because we need someone like him in the middle of the pack.
It's just a shame it's a loan deal, I suppose.
That's the thing, but at the end of the day, if you can get the best out of the loan players, you never know what might happen come the end of the season. And as Nathan said, they might get Livermore. It'd be terrific to see. Lads, on the Prem Chat show, when we speak to different clubs, we always talk a little bit of the controversial side. And there's no Premier League club that doesn't have its own controversy, and with Hull City is of course this thing that's going on and on and on, which is the controversy surrounding the name change. And it rolls on as the Hull City Council have decided to sit on the fence when asked by the FA about it. They say the name change is a matter for the club's owner and supporters and not the council. Rick, this isn't going to go away. What's your opinion towards the whole thing? Is it a little bit silly, the fact that it's rolled on and on?
Well, I think it had to roll on and on, only because the only time you can change the name is in April, when the Football Association would ratify any change. So it's a shame it's come to it. It's a shame we couldn't sort it out before it went this far. But that's how it is. And I'm completely against it. I absolutely hate the thought of it.
It's really trying to Americanize the club. I mean, we see.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking of Indian cricket teams in the IPL, and they're starting to call themselves Daredevils, and there's all sorts of names behind it, trying to make it kind of commercial, yeah. You know.
Well, I mean, I'm quite a traditionalist. Even if it wasn't Hull City, if it was, I don't know, Leeds Lions or West Brom Warriors or something, I'd still be completely against it as a football traditionalist. The fact that it happens to be my club and it's my club's heritage that they're trying to change, I can't settle with it at all. So we just have to wait for some decision to be made one way or the other.
And Nathan, I mean, that's sometimes the case with foreign chairmen, isn't it? They come over, they demand their way and sort of oblivious to the tradition and the fans' perspective. Because all the financial pumping into the club that they do is all well and good. But it's the drawback of, sort of coming in, making rash decisions, and it does take its toll.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, at the minute, Cardiff are a bit worse off than us, but... as I agree, the thing with owners that come from foreign countries is that they have all the money and stuff, and they give us all the money to make us feel good, and then they'll find a way to ruin that. It's like at the moment when the Alums pumped in loads of money for Shane Long and Jelavich. It's about a couple of days later they came out again about the name change, and it was just like, oh, we can't have a good moment without having a bad moment with them. It's just...
Yeah, I completely agree with that, Nathan.
It's really annoying.
Does that not bring up, though, lads, a whole new argument about the traditional values of across English football is gone out the window anyway? I mean, when we see Man City lift the Premier League title, the chances are David Silva and Vincent Kompany probably would not have known who Man City were 10 years ago, and yet there they are lifting the Premier League title. I mean, is it not kind of just the way things are going?
No, I'm not sure about that. I mean, a club like Man City's got quite a history. I know they've been a bit of a joke in recent years, being in Man United's shadow, but we got some great clubs, we've got great names, we've got a great history, and that's what people like. People grew up, I think, in watching English football. I know it's big in Asia and America now, but if you go back 20, 30 years, then it's massive in Scandinavia and Ireland, and that's why a lot of Irish people come across watch Manchester United and Liverpool, because they grew up watching English football. And I don't think it needs doing for the game in general. I think the tradition is great.
So, Rick, here's the ultimate question. Would you rather have Hull being a sort of super force in the Premier League and challenging for titles and winning silverware, very much like Man City? Or would you rather stick with Hull City, keep with the tradition, and continue? I mean, you're not doing badly at the moment by no means, but continue keeping afloat in the Premier League and never really making a title charge?
But, I mean, I don't think that's a reasonable question. I don't mean any offence there, but because simply put, I don't think that changing the name is suddenly gonna produce hundreds of millions of pounds like it's gone into Manchester City, and I don't think the current owner's got that money to invest either. So. I mean, personally, I'd rather be Hull City regardless, if it means ending up in the Conference. And I don't speak for everybody there, because some people would be horrified at that thought. But that's just me.
It's a fascinating viewpoint, Rick. I think a lot of Hull City fans would actually agree with you on that one, in terms of the club. They want it to feel like it is their club. Before we let you go, lads, and I'll come to yourself, Nathan, on this, your hopes for the end of the season. We always ask Premier League fans what they hope for their club, and a lot of them tend to be optimistic. Last year when we spoke to Blackburn fans, it was probably the most pessimistic viewpoint I had ever gotten on any Premier League show I've ever done. But I have to say it, what would you be hopeful for? Do you believe now with the new signings you guys can actually make a push and actually finish in the top half and maybe even challenge for a European place, Nathan?
I don't think a European place is going to come out of the league. If we do get a European place, I reckon it'll be because we've won the FA Cup or something. But I'll keep it steady and I'll say 14.
Fantastic. Okay, steady, slow and steady wins the race. Rick, would you be along that viewpoint, or would you put your neck on the line and be a little bit more optimistic?
Well, I won't talk about Europe for the simple fact that everybody talks about getting to Europe, and then when they get there, nobody wants to be in it. Certainly not the Europa League, but I'll go. I think we'll finish about 10 or 11. And we'll win the FA Cup.
I'll never forget the time. We seem to mention it quite a lot when we ask fans on their predictions for the year ahead. It reminds me of Niall Quinn as Sunderland chairman talking about Champions League. And oh, how that didn't go too well.
Just don't quote me on the FA Cup if we lose to Southend on Saturday.
Right, guys, just to give you a chance to plug yourself and your Twitter accounts, Rick, starting with yourself, where can we find you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter, I'm Hull City Live, all one word.
Brilliant, and Nathan?
And I'm McDonald 1995.
Two terrific Hull people there. It's going to be a terrific season, hopefully onwards and upwards, and some serious signings. And hopefully, as Rick says, maybe there won't be a name change in the pipeline. My thanks to Rick, the Double Nathan team, and all our listeners. Remember, you can get us on Twitter, we're at TalkingSport.org. If you have any questions, you can email dave@talkingsport.org. That was Hull City on the Prem Chat Show. We'll do it all again very, very soon. Thanks, lads.